He went on to say that the tribunal had misunderstood the effect of the Court of Appeal's decision as to what recycling included. They should have asked if any process had taken place, which included sorting or separating to produce useful material from waste. And if so, this comes within Parkwood. The judge also clarified that it didn't matter who did the recycling. The judge commented that Darfish was different. In that case, there was no recycling at all of the soil. It arrived at the landfill site in the same state it had left the two companies. The appellant had argued that as long as the material had been reused, this would amount to recycling, even if nothing at all had been done to it. The judge also raised one of the tribunal's contentions that the economic consequences of the disposal were irrelevant. The tribunal had said that it was irrelevant whether the supplier received or made a payment for the goods, or whether the recipient paid for the transport. The High Court judge said that no factors should be excluded from consideration if it indicated whether or not someone was discarding something. The evidence in each case should be assessed. The tribunal had erred in this matter. Bearing these points in mind, the judge then went on to comment on each of the 11 scenarios in issue. If you remember, the first scenario was the free tips, i.e. where no money changed hands between the parties. Customs had accepted that if the landfill operator paid for the transport of the material to the site, then no tax would be due. This was because it was in effect a purchase of material by the operator. The judge said that in his view, this was correct. Where there's a net cost to the operator, i.e. the operator waives the charge and pays for the transport of the material is not disposed of as waste. He also commented that in accordance with the Parkwood decision, it seemed to him to show that the site operator is the person disposing of the material, as they are the ones who want the material on site, so it is their intention that's important. He did, however, go on to distinguish free tips where the operator doesn't pay for the transport of material. He said that if the site operator has not specifically requested the material, then it would be less likely that it is them that makes the disposal, and therefore it's the intention of the person getting rid of the material that's important. This did not necessarily mean it became a taxable disposal. The harder the commercial bargain of the person disposing of the material, the less likely they intend to discard the material. He finished off by saying that all the circumstances have to be considered, and that the tribunal had misdirected itself, and that this category should be remitted to the tribunal for determination on the evidence. The above analogy was also applied to scenarios 3, 4 and 5. If you remember, these were the uneconomic tips, where the customer paid for the disposal but this was less than the tax charge, the break-even tips, where the customer paid the £2 to cover the tax charge, and the discounted tips, where the tipping charge is below market rate but above the tax charge. So in essence, the judge is remitting these disposals back to the tribunal for them to consider in the light of all the circumstances whether there is an intention to discard the material as waste. The judge commented on Category 6. This was where members of the public deposited waste at an amenity site, which was then segregated into recyclable material, which was taken away for recycling, and waste that was removed to the landfill site. The judge said that it will be for the parties to consider whether in the light of this judgment there is any need for the matters to be remitted to the tribunal for reconsideration or whether the result can be agreed. Well, talk about sitting on the fence. What exactly does this mean? Does he mean that he's asking customs to accept that they're wrong and that they need to change their view? Or what? I think we're going to have to wait and see on this one. The judge also applied the same analogy to Category 7, which was the same scenario as above, except in that case the customer paid to deposit the material. And he applied it to Category 9 also, which was where material had been sorted into active and inert material. The disposer pays for the disposal, but as the waste is already sorted, they receive more favourable disposal charges. The reason that the judge lumped all these scenarios together is because of the element of recycling, sorting, separating, etc. In relation to Category 8, which was where the site operator paid a supplier of inert materials, e.g. bricks, rubble, where the material is used to cover the waste at the end of the day, the judge said that as the site operator needed the inert waste for engineering purposes, and therefore approached suppliers in order to obtain the right amounts, he found it difficult to see that this type of material was being disposed of as waste, or disposed of on behalf of anyone other than the site operator. He also said that this was the case even in the absence of a sale or payment for transport. This is a clear part of the judgment. There should be no landfill tax due on material procured by the site operator for engineering purposes. They are the ones making the disposal, but their intention is not to dispose of it as waste, but use it for engineering on the site. I think this is the right approach and exactly what Parkwood meant. So, where are we with this judgment? Well, to summarise the decision, we can take the following points. If material has been recycled by any means, which does not have to include crushing or mixing, but can be something as simple as sorting or separating, and the material is used for site engineering or to cover the waste at the end of the day, this should not be a taxable disposal. This is also not limited to situations where the goods are sold. The economic consequences of a disposal were a relevant factor, i.e. if money changed hands or if someone negotiated a discounted rate or their transport was paid, etc. No factor should be excluded from consideration. If the site operator had not specifically requested the material, then it was less likely they were the ones making the disposal, and therefore it would be the intention of the person getting rid of the material. However, the harder the commercial bargain of the disposer, then the less likely they would have an intention to discard. And if the site operator needed the inert waste for engineering purposes, and therefore approached suppliers, it was difficult to see that this type of material is being disposed of as waste, or disposed of on behalf of anyone other than the site operator. This was the case even in the absence of a sale or payment for transport. Now, I still don't think we've seen the last of this. Some of the disposals have been remitted back to the tribunal, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Some of them he's asked that the parties come to an agreement on, and I still don't think we have absolute clarity on when there is a disposal as waste and when there isn't.